last time, for all of you who, oh, look at that. Oh, now the Lord approves of what I say from here on. So this morning we're going to do what you all call Couch Sunday. And like a good Italian, I can't walk it down, I've got to walk around. But I am going to ask my first person to come up. Jackie, are you out there? How are we going to both fit? Oh, it's good. Okay, let's do this. This is yours. Okay. I'll sit here. So, Jackie, why don't you let everybody know what Mainly Music is all about?
Okay, so a lot of people know about Mainly Music, but if you don't know, it's very the basic explanation of it is that it's a preschool music program, and it also operates as a playgroup and a social time for caregivers, mums and children to get together. So that's a very basic explanation of Mainly Music. But it is a ministry, so it has to be connected to a church. And our church took on the Mainly Music ministry in 2008. So we've been going for a number of years now. It's all over the country. It started in New Zealand in Christchurch. It's now all over the world as well. It's a very, very popular ministry that churches love to embrace.
Cool. So how did it come about for us to start this up?
So in 2007, I think it was Stuart Gray who actually sort of just casually mentioned to me something about, oh, maybe Mainly Music is something that our church might like to look at doing. And it was one of those times when the Holy Spirit just, you know when your heart leaps when it's right and you know that God is telling you that it's the right thing to do. And so that's what it was like for me, and I just felt that we should do it. And it was confirmed to me just by this wonderful group of women who came forward to support me in the ministry. And also when we started the Mainly Music ministry, we had so many families coming that we actually had to start a waiting list because it was that popular and we didn't even advertise. So it was just the right timing. God's blessing was on it.
So what happens generally at Mainly Music? What do you do?
Okay, Tuesday morning here upstairs in the room that the Stepping Stones meet on a Sunday morning. We have lots of mums arriving with prams and with little ones in tow. And they come upstairs, 10 o'clock. We have half an hour of music, which is not just actually all about songs. Sometimes it's rhymes, sometimes we have a story. It encourages children's imagination and their coordination and development. But we also, importantly, have some songs that non-church people, they call them God songs. We wouldn't have called them God songs ourselves, but they are about God, but that was the name that they gave them when we sing songs about God. So we always try and have at least two songs about God in there so that that's just filtering into the minds of the little ones.
Cool.
Yep, and we celebrate birthdays Christmas and Easter are special occasions for us. We always tell the Christian message at those times. So after our music session, we break for morning tea. And part of one of our values is generosity. So we always make sure there's a really delicious morning tea for the adults. They get home baking. And the children get something a bit more healthy. Otherwise, we get complaints. And then we pull out lots of toys, so that's the time it's a playgroup and a really lovely social time for children and the parents to mix together.
So just out of curiosity, how many people do you normally have there on a Tuesday morning?
Well, we have about 25 to 30 children, and then we have their parents and caregivers too. Yeah, and it's not just the mums that bring the children along. Occasionally we're lucky enough to have dads, and we're also lucky enough to have grandparents that bring their children too. So, yeah.
Any stories that you know that you can want to share with us that happened?
Well, probably, you'll probably see from the photos, the Christmas sessions are always very special because we can really feel like, you know, we've got liberty to tell the story of Jesus' birth, and the Easter sessions are very special too. When it's Easter and Christmas, we often will give a book to each of the children on those messages. And then when children leave Mainly Music, we give them a Bible, the Jesus Storybook Bible. And we've found that those are very significant things to be able to do because we often get feedback from parents saying to us, my child really loves the story or the Bible that we've given to them, and if there's a song that goes with the story, they're singing the song at home. And I've been in the supermarket two or three times and bumped into families that have left Mainly Music, but if I get into a conversation with them, they'll often say, you know, so-and-so is still reading her Bible and loves it. And it's just really lovely to think that the gospel is going into homes that it might not have normally gone into otherwise. Cool. Yeah.
Cool. You've got total attention of all these people here. How can we as a church community help you with Mainly Music?
Well, the theme this morning seems to have been on prayer. If there's anybody out there who would love to commit to praying for Mainly Music on a regular basis, I'd love to hear from you. To think that we'd have a team wrapping around us to pray would be really wonderful. And that group of people, then, you know, I can perhaps feed particular concerns or needs into would be lovely. And if it's a sort of ministry that sounds like you'd like to help, if you love building up relationships with families in the community and walking alongside them, encouraging them, then come and see me, because we can always have more people supporting us.
Terrific.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Do you mind if I pray for you now?
That would be lovely.
Great. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you for the work that is going on here on a Tuesday morning with Mainly Music, and the kids and families that are touched by the work, by the selfless giving of people helping and making this thing happen. Thank you for Jackie and her heart, for Stu just giving that little seed and allowing it then to sprout, Lord. We just want to pray over that ministry right now, and the kids that attend, families that attend. We pray, Holy Spirit, touch the hearts of the people that continue to build up our people, Jackie in particular, as they lead and bring this ministry to these people, Lord. We thank you for it, Father, and I press upon the hearts of those here today who may feel a little bit of a nudge and want to help or want to put their hand up to pray for this ministry, Lord. I pray you help them to be bold enough to come forward and come to Jackie. We just ask you, we give this to you, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Jane?
You know, I just honor the people that are on my team, because I have a fabulous team of women who make this happen every Tuesday morning. And there's other women who are not on the team any longer, but they've been helped in the past. And just want a big thanks to them.
Cool.
Appreciate everything that they do.
Awesome. Thank you. Give her a hand. So mission's not just about, you know, hopping on a plane or a boat and going far away, right? Sometimes when we think of self-denial and mission, we tend to ignore the very things that are happening right here amongst us. Things that happen on a weekly basis, on a daily basis. People who are committing their time and effort doing equal mission just in our very community. Someone else I'm going to bring forward now is Rachel Brandt. Are you here? Come and sit on the brown couch. And actually, I feel a bit self-conscious because I've got these guys right here, and I know that I'm blocking their view. Yep. Oh, swap sides. There you go. Put the big guy on the other side. There you go, Rachel. Now they can all see you. There you go. So, Rachel, if you all don't know, does Bible in schools. Can you give us a bit of a background of what you do, how you came about doing it, and where you're at now?
Bible in schools. I grew up in a school that had Bible in schools. Can you put your hands up if you've been taught Bible in schools in school before? It's quite a few
quite
of
a
you.
Few.
Yeah. It's a fantastic ministry, otherwise known as Christian CRE at the moment, Christian Religious Education. It is in 650 schools in New Zealand with about 2,500 volunteers, so it's quite a big movement still. My mother taught Bible in schools, my sister did, and one day I was sitting here probably last year, the year before, and some lovely ladies came up and did a presentation on Bible in schools, and we're recruiting volunteers, and I sat in the audience and thought, not for me, I'd rather we do it working with the elderly. And they put up a video of a athletics arena, and there was an old man running around the athletics arena, and he had a baton in his hand, and he was getting really tired. He did his circuit around the arena, and it was his time to pass it off. He'd done his circuit, and he got to the end, and there was nobody there to take it, and so he went to the sidelines, and he was looking for younger people to give it to, and they all went, no, not me, you keep going. So the poor old man had to keep carrying the baton and going around the arena again. And it was at that moment I felt completely, a bit like Jackie, that heart nudge that you have to do this. And so I went down after church, and I was the only one to sign up. Nobody else was interested that day. And they were thrilled to have somebody else on board. I was still quite unsure if I was a good fit for it. And the Bible school started up the next year, and I was on a team, and I got told that I was going to be on a class of, with a class of 54, with 33 of those were boys. And I thought, this is going to be tough, but God knew. He knew that I was the right person for that. I got teamed with a wonderful, older, seasoned lady, and absolutely loved it, to my surprise. So God picked me for that, and I had a fabulous year last year, and absolutely blown away by the fact that we can talk about God in the classroom. So
how does it work? Do you just go in there and do you have a curriculum? Or are you kind of left to your own devices? How does it work?
So how many years ago? 20 years ago, I was sitting in Bible in schools, and it was more of a free-for-all. Teachers could come in and teach what they wanted to do. So, for example, I don't remember too much about what I was taught when I was a child, but I do remember one man coming in, and he brought in his tape recorder, and he played the song by Queen, Another One Bites the Dust, to us. And then, I don't know if some of you might know this, but then he proceeded to play a recording of that backwards. And the message backwards of Another One Bites the Dust is, it's fun to smoke marijuana. So that's what the Bible in schools teacher wanted to communicate to us, that rock music had subversive messages in there, and it wasn't good. So you'll be pleased to know that Bible in schools now has a very tight curriculum.
Hey, but his teaching stuck, obviously.
That was quite something. Very tight curriculum. It's based on God's love and what the Bible is and the person of Jesus, and very, very heavy on God's love and the Bible. So very regulated. As you know, it's been in the press a lot, very close to being taken out of school, so they're very, very careful. I've just been assessed in the classroom for what I teach and how I teach, so it's very, very well monitored now.
Cool. So how often do you do it? Is it weekly?
Or? Every week, every Thursday morning, I go into Waterloo School. This year I have a class of 24, and we have half an hour with the children.
Cool. How can we be praying for you?
Just the privilege it is to be able to go into a classroom. There are kids there that have never heard about Jesus and God's love, that we can have a real impact. As you know, CRA is in the news, and that it's very close to High Court appeal at the moment, so we need CRE to be able to continue in the classroom, and we need more volunteers. We need people to step up and talk to these amazing kids about God's love.
So for those of us who think, I'm not equipped, how can I teach, is there like a session that you sit with them, or do you just release them straight into the classroom? How can you help those who might be considering it but might feel that they're not good enough for it?
First of all, if God's nudging, that's the number one thing. God picks those that he knows are right for the job. The other thing is, you can take great confidence in the support that you get. There's a great team of people out there in the Hutt Valley area that support you, and the curriculum really hands it on to you on a plate. They're very careful about what you're teaching. So really, you just have to have a heart for others and a love for God and Jesus, and want to share that. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Can I pray for you?
Absolutely.
Yep. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for Rachel's heart in wanting to share your word and share you, Jesus, to these young kids, who many of whom most probably have never heard of you. Thank you for that, Lord. I pray, Father, for CRE and all that it does, for this High Court appeal that's happening now, and for those who are maybe not wanting it to be there, I pray you soften their hearts, Lord, and help them to see what a good thing this is. For Waterloo School, we put our hands over that now, Lord, and we pray for that school and for the many schools that CRE is working in, Lord. I pray for people right now who are feeling maybe the nudge of the Holy Spirit saying, hey, I want you to step up for this. I pray they may have the courage to come forward and talk with Rachel and, step out in faith. We just thank you, Lord. Cover Rachel as she goes out and does your work. And as your community, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Courtney, come on up. Hey, Courtney. So everyone who may not know, Courtney has started this year, right? Part of a program called 24/7 Youth Network. She is working at Hutt Valley High School. And Courtney, tell us, what is 24/7? What does it do? What's it about?
24/7 is an organization that was started in Christchurch about 16 years ago, and it partners churches, the communities, and local schools together to put youth workers into the school. In every school that looks different. At Hutt Valley High School, that looks like a lot of mentorship. So there's four youth workers at Hutt High working with 24/7. We're all part-time, and we come in and we work one-on-one with students who are having a bit of a rough season or life, as that happens sometimes. And we work to encourage them and support them, to connect them with their community, hopefully one day to connect them with the church. And, it's basically just putting an extra layer of support into the school that it doesn't already have and trying to meet the needs of the young people where they're at.
What motivated you to step into this?
My youth work with the church, youth leading, was something that I really, really enjoyed. So when the team who is currently at Hutt High approached me to see if I'd be interested in youth work, it was that same thing, feeling like God was nudging me towards that, that it was something that I could offer that was unique to me and my giftings. And it's turned out to be one of the most incredible decisions where that obedience has resulted in so much fruit in my own life and hopefully in the lives of others.
Cool. So how do you do what you do? I mean, are you trained? Are you equipped? Financially, how does it work?
So financially, that partnership between the community, the school, and the church is also a financial partnership. So the church, individuals within this church contribute a quarter of the cost of having youth worker in the school. The school contributes another quarter, and the Petone Youth and Families Trust, which is our community link, pays for the other half. So it's a real team effort. And then within this, my work, we do receive training. So I've just spent the first half of the week at National Conference in Auckland with about 220 other youth workers from around the country. And we also receive basic training throughout the year as we do our work.
So you're telling me that we, Hutt City Baptist, have collaborated with Hutt Valley High School to get a Christian youth worker into that school. Like, we've actually working together to get a Christian youth worker into the school to help the children there.
That's right.
Sounds pretty cool.
And on top of that, which is an incredible thing, the four youth workers in the school, there's myself, there's Ashley and David from Petone Baptist, and there's Michael from Hutt City Church, the AOG church over the river. And it's wonderful to see denominations united working together inside of a secular school. Now, there's strict things. We can't talk about God with the young people unless they bring it up first, or the same with church. So we're a little bit limited in that way, but we believe that actions speak louder than words, and we hope that through our support of the young people that they will witness Christ and that they'll start to ask the questions that we're dying for them to ask so that we can tell them about God.
Wow. Okay, so how can we help you?
Prayer. Prayer for that would be incredible, especially spending my last week at National Conference, I've been really challenged about the way that we witness inside the school. So prayer that the young people that we're working with would start to be curious about why we do what we do and would ask the questions that allow us to talk about God. Prayer that the staff, the teachers and the senior staff would become really interested in our work and want to hear the reasons behind it so that we can testify to God in our lives. And also practical support. I'm so grateful for all the food donations that have been coming in over the last little while. You don't know how wonderful it is to be able to give food to a hungry young person, to know that you're sending them off to class with a full stomach, because it makes such a difference to their day. So thank you for all the lunch donations that have been given in. And if you are a person who enjoys cooking, the most practical thing we've been given is frozen meals. So small, well, you know, like a lunch-sized portion of spaghetti bolognese or shepherd's pie, something like that, that we can put into the freezer and heat up for the young people at lunchtime. Makes a huge difference. And sometimes we even send them home with them because they don't have meals at home. So to know that we can provide that practical support with them along with the emotional support is, yeah, just a wonderful thing.
Cool. Let's pray over Courtney. Dear Lord God, there is so much great about what's going on in Courtney's life with this work at Hutt Valley High. And I just want to pray right now, covering over her, Lord, as she goes into that place, that you may lead her and guide her. May children be drawn to her and see those actions, that act of love, of sharing meals, of being a support, and know there is a lot more to life and that there is a God that loves them. So I pray you lead her through all this. Thank you, Lord, that we are not doing this just on our own, that churches are united in this, and they're united with the school in wanting to see good things happen there. And I pray, Lord God, for finances, for food, and the support that Courtney needs to do her work there, Lord. I pray that now. And upon the hearts of those who are thinking about how they could help, may they have the courage to come forward and speak with Courtney about it. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Courtney. So, talking about mission and talking about what it means to be in a mission, we always think of it as a faraway thing. We always think of it as an individualistic thing. I am called, I leave, and I go. And mission is so much more than that. I don't like the word mission. It means a good thing, but it does come up with these connotations of something individualistic. Now, everybody in this room has a mission. Everybody here is called. There's not one person in this room that does not have a mission. Anyone know what that mission is? I see a hand up, but no talking. Who knows what that mission is? Spread the word of God. To serve. What were Jesus' last words in Matthew? To make disciples. To share God's love and make disciples. We all have a calling, a mission. Now, for some of us as individuals, that might be something very particular. I feel called to a people group, to a place, to a type of activity. I might have that calling. And for some of us here, that calling is as clear as day. Courtney has heard the Lord. Rachel has heard the Lord. Jackie has heard the Lord. They hear that calling and they're like, clear as day, that's what we're going to do. We also have quite a clear calling as a community of God's people. We are here for a reason. We're not just here because we have a good time, which is a good thing. But we're not just here to self-serve. We're here to do something more. We as a community are called to something. We're exploring this with our elders. Why did we buy this place? Why does God have us in this part of the world? What's the purpose of it? We have a calling as well. Missions is not just an individual thing. It's for us as a community. Now, there are a couple things. First of all, mission is more about you than it is about the mission itself. When Paul was called to mission, when he was called by God, who actually appeared to him on the road to Damascus? Jesus, right? Did he need some organization to go and evangelize to him? Did he need someone to pull him over with a track and say, hey, you need Jesus? No. Jesus did it himself. So the reality is, he really doesn't need us. If he wants to convert people, he'll do it. right? But he wants to use us. He wants to use us. And part of being on a mission is that key word, obedience. Trust. Dependency. For us to grow in him is to trust him with his power. In our weakness, he is strong. In the darkness, he is the shining light. When we feel we're all alone, he is the one carrying us. Mission is more about you than it is about the mission itself. Are we obedient to his calling? That's the challenge we have this morning. We've heard three people come up here, and they're not the only ones in this place. We've got Ben, who works with TSCF, putting in quite a lot of time to reach young people in the universities. We heard about Rudolph and Pauline, what they do in the prisons. There are other people doing things here that are reaching our community. Are we obedient to his calling? When Paul had a vision, which is really interesting, huh? Paul has a vision, and immediately they sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel there. If I had a vision, I think several people would want to analyze it before we actually move out. Right? What's he been drinking or eating? And we need to really kind of overlook this and, you know, kind of think deeply about this. Here we have Paul, he has a vision, and immediately they get up and they go. Are we obedient to his calling? God is nudging you in some ways. Are you obedient to his calling? Are we selfless in serving him? For many of us, the question is, oh, I've got too much going on. I don't know if I've got time to spend, you know, I don't want to go to school again and deal with 33 boys. Oh my goodness. Well, I know I'd be good at it, but I don't know, Lord. Are we selfless in serving him? Here Paul says to the Corinthian church, even though I am a free man with no master, I've become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. He knows his calling and he has wedded to it completely. There are four reasons why mission is so important for us and for our church. First one is this. It's a bonding fellowship. It's a creating of community outside of our comfort zone. See, right now we go to church where we feel comfortable, where we like the preaching or where we like the music. And in a sense, church has kind of become this safe place for us where things are done the way we like. But the whole point of mission is actually bonding fellowship. We come together because Christ has brought us together, and because he has sent us out, we trust him. And the more we trust him, real bonds of fellowship are made. Ask Ben when he has to get up early in the morning and take a flight to Dunedin, which is about 10 degrees colder than what it is here, having to go speak to a bunch of young university kids. Ask him the first time how he felt going through that process. Or ask Rachel how she felt walking into that classroom the first time. And then ask her how she felt at the end. When we create community outside of our comfort zone, we become bonded. And the work of God becomes even more powerful. Personal growth, dependency on God's leading. The whole point of mission is trusting God to step out of our comfort zones, to actually be called and to do it. And no, I'm not doing this out of my strength. I'm doing it in his strength. It's not about how good I am. It's about how awesome he is. Personal growth. Third thing, responsibility of God's mission. We're living out the Great Commission. If that doesn't excite you, I'm worried for you. There's nothing greater than seeing God's kingdom grow. This world needs it, doesn't it? Italy lost this morning. It needs God. Let's not talk about the English. This world needs redemption. And, you know, when you see someone give their life to the Lord, there is no greater joy. There is no greater joy because you know that that person's life and everyone around them is going to change. And how this world, how much our nation needs it. We have a great responsibility. And I'm excited about it. Worried, frightened, fearful, yeah. But we have this great responsibility of living out this great commission. And the fourth point I want to share with you is the spreading of God's word. It's all about Jesus. There is nothing greater than Jesus. He has died for us. He loves us. He rose from the dead. He conquered death. He stands before the throne interceding for us. He is our Savior. And it's all about Him. So if you feel the nudge, personally, see, there's God calling you right now. Who's that? God is saying, hey, you need to wake up. If you're feeling the nudge this morning, to, whether it is to come and maybe support one of these people up front, whether it's in prayer, whether it's actually thinking, next week we've got, the Gibbons, they were up at in Thailand, or last week we heard the group from France, and you think, I've been procrastinating, I've been sitting down, and what do I do now? Well, now's your chance. And it doesn't have to be that big a thing. It might be just to get on your knees and pray for Mainly Music. And making the commitment to say, I will support this in prayer. Or maybe it is a big thing. I don't know. But these four things will come out of it. I'll assure you of this. You'll be bonded to people that you never thought you can be bonded with. You know what they do in Thailand when they have communion? Anyone know what they use for communion in Thailand? Sticky rice. Is that out of your comfort zone? You can imagine, sticky rice. That's not what Jesus said. Well, Jesus did say also unleavened bread, but we don't do that, do we? And it was wine. I'm pretty sure it was wine. It wasn't juice. And all the theology that they've come to me to say, it wasn't really wine. Let me tell you. It bonds you with people you never felt you could ever be bonded with. It does this to your missions. It changes you inside out. You grow. You grow in ways you've never thought you could ever grow. You have the responsibility and you feel that responsibility and you will see God's word spreading. You will. You will. You may not experience it right away. Rachel and Jackie, they're going to see kids come to them years from now and saying, I remember what you did. Courtney will see that. I remember when you gave me food. Ben will see it. When these guys that he's speaking to now, when they're married with kids, they'll come back to that and they'll remember. I remember you started my journey. God used you to start my journey. What's your challenge this morning? What is your challenge this morning? Let's pray. Father God, I just want to pray to the hearts of those this morning who are questioning what is their purpose. I want to pray to the hearts of those who are undecided. Lord, what are you doing in their lives? They don't know. But they might be feeling right now just that motivation, that little itch to want to do something. Father God, I just want to speak into those hearts. Speak into their hearts, Lord, and lead them. Show them the way. Help them to make a firm stand by stepping up and going out in your name. Thank you, Lord, for our commitment to this place. And we pray for our purpose, for who we are, why you've got us here. I pray that people might see our church and know that we are sharing your love. That we are a place of refuge. That we are a place of acceptance. That when they see us, they see Jesus. That though other stores and all that stuff might be closing around and all that's going on, they can see that we are a light in all of that. Lift up our workers who work tirelessly and selflessly amongst us, from our own staff, to those who we haven't even mentioned this morning, who are quietly doing work and just wanting to see your kingdom grow in their part, whether it be through open home or through other things. Pray over them, Lord. But for those of us who are on the fence, I pray we may take a stand in Jesus' name and commit to whether it's a prayer or going out in your name. This up in Jesus' name.